Good evening and welcome to Corman.com. This is the Chief Crone from the Corman.com network. Today is the 25th of June, 2008. Saying goodbye to two brothers. Corman.com is brought to you by users like you. Thank you for your donations. Hey everybody, the Chief here. This is part two, or we're going to retry this. This is take number three. I apologize for the mix-up last night. If anything could have gone wrong, it did go wrong. Tonight we're recording, and it's actually the 25th, at least for a little bit longer, the 25th of June, and I'm doing this via my SoundForge audio studio. So this is not being recorded live, as I don't want to have any mistakes, but I do want to get it out tonight. So we're going to go over the news right now. Your new GI Bill. Thank goodness, the new GI Bill has been approved through our Congress and is now awaiting to be signed by the President of the United States with a War Supplemental Bill. If you have not seen this new GI Bill, it will knock your socks off. I'm going to read the article to you. So, I mean, normally I don't do this, but there's just so much information in here for you not to know about. Your new GI Bill, an average of $80,000 for college, and it's transferable to your spouse or kids. Lawmakers have approved some of the most significant improvements to the GI Bill since its inception during World War II, an expansion of the benefits that will enable new generations of veterans and, for the first time, family members to fully cover the cost of obtaining a college degree. The sweeping package is designed to pay for tuition and fees, books, and their living expenses, and let their career troops transfer those benefits to spouses and children. It is also cost-free. Service members no longer must pay to buy into the GI Bill. So no longer we have to pay $1,200 or more. In a deal that ends months of bickering about whether the better college benefits would help or hurt the military, White House officials and key lawmakers agreed on a compromise with a new GI Bill for the 21st century that will offer a benefit worth of an average of $80,000, double the current value. The new benefit would pay up to the in-state rate for tuition and fees for the most expensive four-year public college or university in the state where a veteran attends school. In addition to the bigger basic benefit, initially expected to average $1,450 a month, the program promises a monthly living expense equal to the military's basic allowance for housing for an E-5 with dependents, which averages to $1,100 and a $1,000 annual book allowance and up to $1,200 for tutors. The package also allows up to $2,000 to be paid one time for a licensing or certification test. Service members will also get more time to use their enhanced benefits, up to 15 years that used to be 10, five more than under current law. The improved GI Bill will restore the eroded purchasing power the benefit had when it was initially passed. Originally called the Servicemen's Readjustment Act of 1944, it was too hotly debated before being approved. It is considered one of the most effective pieces of federal legislation ever enacted, and the education benefits are credited with more widely opening college to members of the working class. The House of Representatives approved the war funding bill June 9th. The Senate was expected to follow suit the week of June 23rd, which is this week. Benefits increase take effect as soon as the war funding bill is signed into law by President Bush. But veterans now in school will not get the higher amounts right away because the lawmakers are giving the Veterans Affairs Department until August 1st, 2009 to calculate and pay amounts that will vary by state and by school. Retroactive payments will have to be made to the date Bush signs the bill. Also, anyone who had previously enrolled in the GI Bill will have to wait until August. Anyone who had not previously enrolled in the GI Bill will have to wait until August 1st, 2009 to collect any payments. Free enrollment. GI Bill enrollment, which currently requires active duty members to pay $1,200 over the first year of service, changes completely. The fee ends immediately. This includes an end to any remaining $100 monthly installments for people who are in the process of paying the enrollment fee. People who have paid the entire $1,200 contribution but have not used all of their GI benefits will receive a refund of sorts, with $1,200 added as the final payment when they exhaust their standard 36 months of benefits. Senior defense personnel officials speaking on the condition of anonymity said they are not completely pleased with the compromise because the increased benefits are generous enough to make some service members more than likely to leave the military to attend college rather than stay in for a career. The new thing, too, is transferring benefits. The opportunity for career personnel to transfer benefits to family members was included in the package as a compromise to mitigate some of these concerns. Under the transfer option, active duty National Guard and Reserve members with 6 years of service could transfer the full GI benefits to their spouses after agreeing to serve at least four more years. A service member would have to complete 10 years of service before being allowed to transfer benefits to children. No transfer rights would be available until regulations are issued by the Pentagon. Yeah, let's see how long that takes. Defense officials insisted on transfer rights to provide a way to encourage people to remain in the military. But some lawmakers, including Jim Webb, the architect of the new GI Bill, worry that such a program forces service members to choose between attending college for themselves or paying for college for their families. One detractor, Representative Stephanie Harrison Sandlin of South Dakota, chairwoman of the House Veterans Affairs Economic Opportunities Subcommittee, said that she intends to closely watch how the transfer benefits are used. I would really have preferred that we study this and not after we have approved it, but we are still going to have oversight, she said. Expanded eligibility. Now, here's where it helps those who are reservists and those of you who are on the 15-month program, the NCS program. The plan will extend the full active duty GI Bill benefit to people who do not ordinarily qualify for it after they serve 3 months or more of cumulative active duty service. This includes Guard and Reserve members, Service Academy and ROTC scholarship students now ineligible for benefits, and career service members who joined the military before the Montgomery GI Bill took effect in 1986. This provision, retroactive to cover service since September 11th terrorist attacks, will give them a percentage of active duty GI Bill benefits based upon their cumulative service. They receive 40% of the full monthly benefit after 3 months of service, 50% after 6 months, 60% after a year, 70% after 18 months, 80% after 2 years, 90% after 30 months, and 100% after three years. For Guard and Reserve members who have not been mobilized, the bill also includes a 20% increase in Montgomery GI Bill selected reserve benefits. And it goes on to talk about how it was a long fight to get it. Oh, and here's where the monthly breakdown is. The money. Basic benefits initial average of $1,450 a month. Actual payments will cover full tuition and fees up to the cost of the highest in-state tuition for a four-year public college or university in each state. Amounts will increase each year based on the increase in tuition costs. Housing stipend. A monthly payment equal to the local housing allowance for housing for an E-5 with dependents for those with 3 or more years of active duty. The current allowance averages more than $1,100 a month. Books and equipment up to $1,000 a year for full-time students. Tutoring up to $100 a month with a maximum total payout of $1,200. Licensing or certification, like we said, is up to $2,000. Reserve benefits would increase by 20%. The current full-time monthly reserve rate of $317 would raise up to $380. So, other benefits, more time. Active duty members have 15 years after separation to use the benefits, up from the current 10. Transfer benefits. Service members with 6 years of service who promise to serve 4 or more years can transfer full benefits to spouses. Members who serve 10 years or more can transfer benefits to children. No enrollment fees and $1,200 member contribution is eliminated. So, we are now waiting for the president to sign this. And hopefully, you know, it's going to take a while for it to go through because they have to go through each state and figure out which is the highest in-state tuition for a state school. Understand, if you're in, let's say, Indiana, you're not going to go by the school rate of Notre Dame. They're going to go by the rate of Indiana University or whatever the highest rate is for the highest public school in that state. I know in Illinois, it's the University of Illinois is hugely expensive out here. So they'll go by that. Now, that's not to say they won't pay you to go to a private school. They will, but the only rate that they'll go up to is that highest rate of a public school. So there you go. You might have to come out a little bit out of pocket or get scholarships or loans or something like that, but hey, that's a huge benefit you would receive for this. On to our next story. Evidently, they're having problems in Camp Lejeune. Dateline, Camp Lejeune. A new barracks building with smoke alarms that don't work, daycare centers, and schools with faulty fire detection systems, and a fire department inspector who was intoxicated on the job are among a list of allegations under investigation at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. There's been an investigation launched into this. If you have kids in daycare there and everything like that, when you drop your kids off, make sure that you're putting them in a safe environment. If you have any questions, report it to your chain of command. If you feel that something is not safe, please report it to your chain of command. Make sure they know that you feel that way. Go to your chief or whoever it is. Don't let something happen. If you know something's just not right, report it so that way they can take care of it. I promise you, your local chain of command will be get more involved and make sure something happens. Troops tax breaks extended by the newly signed HARD Act. This is what we talked about a few weeks ago. If you're married to a spouse who's from another country who doesn't have a Social Security number and you weren't eligible for because the way the law was written for this money they're giving back for taxes right now, if you had a spouse that paid taxes but didn't have a Social Security number, under the old guidance, you were not eligible for the tax relief that they just passed out to everybody. Under this new tax act that was just signed, you will be eligible for it. So please look into that. I will have all. I'll have this story in our show notes. So just take a look. By the way, all these news stories I'm giving to you right now are from Navy Times and Marine Corps Times, Air Force Times, and Army Times. Army, here's a good one. This is a good story. Women, you should be happy about this. First female poised to become a four-star, Lieutenant General Anne E. Dunwoody, Deputy Commander and Chief of Staff of U.S. Army Material Command, is poised to become the first female four-star general in the U.S. military, according to an Army press release. That's awesome. I can't believe it took this long for it to happen, because females, the days of people thinking that females can't do what males can do, excuse my French, but it's horse shit. I've seen some females that can just do more than males can. I mean, just flat out. I've seen many, many whiners at Corps School and with the Marines that were males, people who just couldn't cut it, wanted to whine. And then I've seen female Marines or female docs out there who just didn't care, didn't gripe, was just leading the way. So I think it's about time. I totally think it's about time. And you can't say that they're not up doing the fight, because there's been a lot of females that have been killed during this conflict. So congratulations, General. Marine Corps Navy look to increase training at Camp Lejeune. The Navy's trying to get more 20% more increase in small arms fire, 10% in MK 1940mm grenade rounds, and 5% in artillery mortars and tank rounds. I guess you have to go through, like, for lead and all this other crap. I mean, we own the base, but you have to go and ask for permission, even though we're using the damn base. And too much bureaucracy in our military. I swear to God, with the civilian things, it's our frickin' base. Let's bomb the shit out of it. That's what it's there for anyways. As long as it's safe, that's all I care about. And you know something? If we go and we bomb it, let's clean it up afterwards. It's not saying we're not gonna go clean it up. Now, I understand that we've turned over a lot of these bases to civilian authorities, and there's been a mess of stuff that they found, Alameda for one, where I'm from. But, you know, the Navy, we have to clean up afterwards. If we go and we bomb a range for a good long time, then we should have a team that can go in and clean it up afterwards. We shouldn't expect other people to do our work for us, but we should be able to use what we've got. Good article, as U.S. surge in Iraq ends, what next? In other words, what happens? If the surge works, where are all these people coming from? If you remember, a lot of the Army were coming out of Germany at the same time that they were closing the bases in Germany. Now they don't have places to put them in the States because they've surged, plus they've also built up the Army. They're having a hard time figuring out where they're going to put everybody. So, great article. It'll be in the show notes as well. It just piques my interest how they don't see, like, I promise you, with an enlisted person, we will see from point A to point B and then be looking to C, D, E, and F. I sometimes wonder about our officers. I just do. Hospital construction prominent in supplemental funding bill. In the supplemental funding bill that's coming up, they're getting a lot of money added to it, or they got a lot of money added to it, because we are bringing people home from overseas that were in Germany and stuff like that. And we don't have the care available to them and their families. So they've added a whole bunch of money to create clinics. And I know one of the ways they're going here in Great Lakes is they're closed down the Naval Hospital here, and it's a clinic, but they're going to be building a joint clinic with the VA. Now, there's a bunch of bureaucracy with that, because they didn't write it, in my opinion, in the right way to where it's a military organization, and somehow we've given the boss, I guess you could say, the boss of the place will be the VA, which is not a good deal. You should never, ever, other than, let me put it this way, the Commander-in-Chief, Secretary of Defense, the federal legislation up there should be civilians. We should be ruled by civilians. But I'm sorry, but when we're going to get care and stuff like that, we have to have our people to be able to have a stateside place to be able to go for shore duty for the Army, the Navy, or the Air Force. as we keep doing this, we're taking away our shore duty positions, and there's no place for our people to go. We can't just keep deploying to Iraq for 20 years. We have to have a place for our families to be able to de-stress, stabilize, and then move on to the military mission. So, but they are creating more clinics and hospitals and fixing it. I know that I saw that they ground broke for the new hospital up in D.C. So we'll see how this turns out. I just, like I said, I wonder what if they're looking down the road. I already know that the Navy has been told that they can't civilianize everything after they've already hired a bunch of people, and they were getting rid of more and more the medical field. They're getting rid of doctors and nurses and corpsmen, and now the leadership has basically came down and said, nope, you're not doing that anymore. You're not going to civilianize things. Congress stopped them. Some spec ops skills being lost, official says. They're talking about the way it used to work, like for SEAL teams and recon and stuff like that. They wouldn't just train in one area. You wouldn't have a team that would be specifically for like desert only or something like that. They would go all over the place. They'd do jungle warfare, coastal warfare. They would do desert warfare, mountain warfare. Well, the problem is with our op tempo the way it is with Afghanistan as well as in Iraq, they're losing the skills of those other places. If there was a crisis that was to happen in another part of the world, some of these people, these hard chargers who are new to the SEAL community or to the spec ops community, haven't had the training for those other areas, and it could be a detriment to us. Good article. We'll have it in the show notes. Navy, of course, are going for the Bubbas. They bought themselves a hydroplane boat. Helps for recruiting. So they're going after the Bubbas. Bubba wants to go see the fast jet boat going down the river across the lake. So that way we can go sign him up and get him recruited and being in the Navy. Yeah. Enough said about that. 4,024 to get anchors. Chief quotas route. And you can find these chief quotas over on Corman.com. Just look up FY09 CPO quota and you'll be able to see the numbers. I can tell you that for HMC, the numbers are down by almost 10% over last year. Shipmates, if you are at first class and you look down on your chest and you don't see a warfare device on there, if you look in your evals or in your service record and you see, by God, you don't know what the sand is other than on a beach, you don't know what a steel deck is other than walking to that beach, shipmate, you're in a career-holding pattern of E6. When those results come out later on next month and your name's not on that list, I've warned you why. If you want to get pissed off and cry about it, go look in the mirror. The only person you should cry to is yourself. You need to do an IA tour. You need to go do your seashore rotations. I don't care if you're a lab tech. I don't give a flying flip if you're a freaking x-ray tech or whatever the hell you are. We do seashore rotations. You are a sailor first, a corpsman second, and your tech job comes third. Remember that. Your tech job comes third. Some of you in those specialized things for x-ray and all those things, you seem to lose sight that we are a warfighting group. You need to do a tour 8404 or on a ship or with a squadron or whatnot. It will hurt you. I've already talked to a few senior chief friends of mine and master chiefs. I'm telling you what, if you aren't one of those ones that have done the duty and gone across and gotten your boots dirty, you're not going to be advanced. If you're one of those ones, and I know a few of you who are up in Great Lakes, first classes, who just have not, that you go to these hospitals overseas and you seem to think that's going to be it, a hospital duty is not going to help you. I don't give a damn if you have a master's degree. You'd better have boots on the ground or in the surf. All right? Good luck to all of you who are up for chief this year. Well, that's it for the news for tonight, and I just wanted to say we lost two fine HNs in the last week, and it hurts. It really hurts. We, it's the job that we have to do, and they knew what we had to, what our job consisted of. So, you know, I know that parents are hurt and they want us to go to these places and try to be safe. I have a little bit, I know one of them, the mother said, asked him to not take any missions that were dangerous. Well, everywhere over there is dangerous, ma'am. And I hate to put it that way, but it's true. Everywhere is dangerous over in Iraq and Afghanistan. Sometimes if you become too cautious, you can not only hurt yourself, but you can hurt the shipmates that are with you or the Marines or Army people that are with you as well. So when you go out, you got to go out full bore. So we lost Naval Hospitalman H.N. Mark A. Retmer, 19 of Hemet, California, assigned to Provincial Reconstruction Team Sharon's in Afghanistan, died June 18th as a result of wounds sustained from an enemy rocket attack in northern Patrika, I can never say that right, Afghanistan. Also killed was construction mechanic First Class Ross L. Tolles. Ross Tolles, while not a corpsman, was a reservist from Michigan, and he died with him. Folks, these people weren't even assigned to a Navy unit nor to a Marine Corps unit. They were assigned to a NATO-type unit to reconstruct the place. It's a dangerous place. We're putting the Taliban's back against the wall, and they have nothing else to do but to fight now. So they're out fighting more than they have in years. And unfortunately, our KIA toll has gone up. So, and it probably will go up a little bit more. Naval Hospitalman Dustin K. Burnett, 19 of Fort Mojave, Arizona, assigned to 1st Marine Division Detachment 29 Palms, California, died on June 20th while conducting combat operations in Farah Province, Afghanistan. Now, he was assigned to 1st Marine Division. I can tell you that 2-7 has taken a huge hit in the last week. They've lost 7 Marines plus this doc. It's, you know, we're putting the fight to them. Understand, you cannot sit here and complain about Iraq about this. This is happening over in Afghanistan. It is, these are the people that attacked us on 9/11. We didn't attack them, they attacked us. So we're finally, after how many years, 7 years, taking the fight to them. This is where we should have been fighting, first of all, in my opinion. But that's my opinion. It shouldn't, now understand, if I was on active duty and they ordered me to go to Iraq, I would go Iraq blazing. I'd go. I have no problem doing it. When I'm in the military, I do what the commander in chief tells me to do, and I don't complain about it. I just do it. But I just wish we would have taken the fight to these people in Afghanistan a lot sooner than this. I'm glad we're finally doing it, though. Better late than never, I guess. So I say goodbye to my two brothers, and I also say that I celebrate them. And if you've read my article on Corman.com, you know what I'm talking about. I was sad. I'm sure everybody was sad. But you should see some of the letters and the notes that have been written on Corman.com and their condolence pages. There are people who have gone to Corps school with them, who have served with them. They talk about them in a way that is special. They remember the good times about them. And that's the way I would like to remember them. I want to remember Retmer helping, seeing the picture of him helping the Afghani child, patching him up. That's what I know. He was doing the job. He was trained right by his chief at Corps school, and also at FMTB, he was taught to be compassionate and to be a warrior. Both of these hard charges were. So my hat's off to both of you, and just I'll see you soon. Well, I won't see you soon, hopefully, but I'll see you later on. To everybody else, just keep them in your thoughts. And if you're out there doing the job, don't be afraid. You can't do our job being afraid. You have to go hard charging, do what you were taught to do by our instructors, and move on and carry on with the mission. Well, that's it for tonight. I ask that if you have anything for Dee Dee, to please get it to her as soon as possible for the newsletter. She's probably trying to wrap it up right now, and I would ask that you do it as soon as possible. If you have anything for our newsletter, please send it to editor@corman.com, and she will get it in there. If you have anything for me, you can email me at admin1@corman.com, and I will get back to you as soon as I can. Understand that while Corman.com is my baby and everything, I'm also a dad, and during the summer, since I have all my kids home with me, the dad duty and the honey-do list is quite large, so I try to take care of that first, and then I jump on Corman.com. Matter of fact, I'm taping right now, and it's 12:25. It's actually the 26th of June now. So expect the newsletter to be out. I know Dee Dee tries to get it out. It'll probably be out by this weekend, and then we'll have our 4th of July newsletter. Our July 4th newsletter will be out in July, so expect that. I know that on the 4th of July, Dee Dee asks that if you have anything that you'd like to put in the newsletter, she really wants you to celebrate America, and she would like to know in a worded passage how you do celebrate America. what makes America special to you? If you could email it to her at editor@corman.com, she can get it in the July 4th. Make sure you you designate that as July 4th article, so that way she knows what it's for. Also, if you would like to sponsor a Corman.com episode, please, if you would, it's $25 or more, and I'm not saying you have to do it. I'm going to still do these anyways. But if you would, hit one of the PayPal donation buttons on any of our sites, any of our pages. And if you're going to donate, please do so. But in the notes, please put your name and put Netcast in there so I know that this is going to be a donation towards the Netcast. We do not go out and ask for specifically for donations until December. I'm not asking every week for everybody to please donate. But if you wanted to sponsor a podcast in the name of a loved one or just for yourself to get your name out there for any reason, just let me know, and I'd be happy to put that on there. I would also be happy to interview you to try to have you part of this process. The more, the merrier. Some things that we are working on right now, FMTB has gotten in touch with us in North Carolina, and we were trying to get an interview with the CPO that's out there that runs the school, the senior enlisted advisor. I'm working on that right now. I've gotten in contact with a lieutenant out there, but I really want to talk to the chief. I mean, we're an enlisted organization, and I'd rather be able to talk chief to chief and get the real gouge from the enlisted perspective. So I'm working on that, and Crazy Cajun's going to be out of the loop on July 1st for about, actually, 23 days. So I am the tech support. I will be the tech support. I will be the administrative. We're going to be busy. And I also want to say to Tony, congratulations, your wife coming home tomorrow. Hoorah. Everybody have a great week, and we'll see you next week. Remember, we'll be taping live next Tuesday night for Corman.com. We hope to see you then. Have a good night, everybody, and have a good week. Hoorah.